himself, but they were children or condemned criminals. "In order to be a good linguist, one must be prepared to make sacrifices," said Silver, in faultless allspeak. "Do you think I submitted to the operation without much secret shame and soul-searching? However, I have something to say. Do I strike you, Marco Farfara, as a character of ill humour and short temper?"
"No, why?"
"If you try a stunt like you just did once more, I will kill you."
"I thought it was impossible anyway," said Kin, with hasty diplomacy. Marco looked from one to the other.
"It's not impossible, simply tricky and highly illegal," he said carefully. "Do it wrong, and you end up in the middle of the nearest sun. As for your statement, Silver, I have noted it."
They both nodded gravely.
"Right," said Kin brightly. "Fine. Now show the film again."
Either the film was genuine, or J-Lo was an unsung special effects genius. It might have been the polar regions of New Earth, or anywhere on Serendipity. Not Najal and Milkgard, because those worlds had no birds, and one picture showed a flock of birds in the distance. Until Silver turned up the magnification. Whatever they were not birds. Not with those hoarse heads, black scales and bat-black wings. But there was a word for them in human history, and the name Dragon unfolded in Kin's mind. There was a seascape, and unless there was something very wrong with the size of the waves, the snake-headed beast looping through them was fully a kilometre long. There were distant views of what might have been cities. There were several sunsets, at least one taken from the air, and a number of night shots of starscapes. "Go back to the aerial sunset," said Kin. "Now what's wrong?"
"Horizon's odd," said Marco.
It was. The curve was oddly flattened. There was something else wrong, too, something Kin couldn't immediately spot.
"Apart from that, it could be any human world," observed Silver.
"Funny," said Kin. "J-Lo talked about a flat Earth, not just a flat world."
"That does not surprise me. Humans have been the only race to entertain the primitive idea of a flat world,"
said Marco, running the film back to the starscapes.
"If you don't believe me, look it up. Kung always thought they lived on the inside of a sphere, and Shandi always had Big Twin hanging up there to teach them a basic lesson in cosmology."
Kin grunted. Later on, she found time to check it in the ship's library. It was true, but what did it prove? That men were slightly stupid and very egocentric? Aliens already knew that.
"We shall be able to ascertain the precise nature of the flat world," said Marco, "when we arrive."
"Hold it," said Kin. "Stop right there. What do you mean, when we arrive?" The Kung gave her a withering look.
"I have already set up the program. That whine you hear is the Matrix battery charging up."
"Where are we now?"
"Half a million kilometers from Kung."
"Then you can land and let me off. I ain't coming."
"What plans had you, then?"
Kin hesitated. "Oh, we could take J-Lo to a resurrection clinic," she said at last. "We could wait around and, She stopped. It sounded pretty feeble even to her.
"We have the course, the ship and the time," said Marco. "The man will come to no harm in the Sargo. If we hesitate, we will have to explain, and probably the company will want to know why you weren't frank with it in the first place."
Kin looked at Silver for support, but the Shand just nodded heavily.
"I would not like to lose this opportunity," she said.
"Look," said Kin, "taking this trip with J-Lo seemed a good idea, right? But now we don't know the half of what we're embarking on. I'm just using a bit of intelligent caution, is all.
So much for the vaunted monk.